Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. In America, promotion doesn't come from the right or the left. Promotion comes from God. God's the one who puts people where they are. Sometimes God gives the leaders to bless, and sometimes God gives the leaders to punish states and nations.
We are in Romans chapter 13, where we learn what God has to say about submitting to authorities in government. As Christians, we know we must obey the laws of the land. But is there ever a time when we should not obey our government? And what about when our leaders are clearly not respecting God and His Word? Stay with us as we dive into the first 7 verses of Romans chapter 13. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
The title of our message today is Government, Police, Soldiers, and the Bible. In our Q&As, one question that we get regularly is, can I be a soldier and still be a Christian? Or I'm a Christian who is a soldier, should I get out of the army, or is it something that I can do? It's interesting, we don't get that from police officers, but we get it from soldiers. And I kind of understand why they're thinking that way, because the role is different, but the role is the same as well. And we're going to see that that is the main role of government. But this passage, and I want to read you a passage out of Peter as well, and a passage out of Titus as well, that helps us to understand that we are supposed to submit to government. And we'll talk about when we don't submit to government, because there's a time that we don't, and the differences in the different kind of governments that you might live in, because there might be somebody in a communist country who's a Christian and a believer and born again, and they would be submitting to the government as well. And a communist government should have the same goal as the Roman Empire did. We need to think that when this passage is given to us about how we interact with the government, that it's the Roman Empire that Paul's talking about. Eventually, he will be killed by Nero. Eventually, the government will kill him. And he's talking to the Romans about how they are supposed to respect those that are in government. Now, some have said, this passage, you got to read it in context, and Paul's writing to the Romans, and so he's telling them to respect government because they're in Rome. And if they weren't in Rome, he wouldn't have said that. So I've got a passage out of 1 Peter where Peter talks about this, not to Romans, but just to Christians in general, to help us understand that this is much broader, that the Bible really addresses every part of our lives. And not only do we have a responsibility to honor and be respectful to government, but I think we have a responsibility to have a part in government because of who we are. And I'll get into that. Because of the kind of government we have. If we were in the empire, we would have no say in who was the emperor. But we aren't in the empire. We are in the United States, where we get to vote and take our values and put them into play. It's been said that about half of evangelicals don't vote. And all we're doing, if we say, I'm not going to be political, I'm not going to vote, all we're doing is ceding the government to people that don't have our values. We're just kind of giving up on saying, I want to be involved in it. I want to have a say. I always want to have a say. I have voted in every opportunity that I've had since I turned 18 years old. Ronald Reagan was the first person that I voted for. And then where there's a lot of presidents I could go on naming that were on both sides, some that I very easily did this passage, and others that it was very difficult for me to do what this passage has to say. And that will be true for all of us here, and yet we still want to make sure that we are doing the things that we need to do. I want to start with this. There are 4 institutions that God established. The first one is marriage. And we see this in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We see it in Genesis chapter 2. Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 19. And Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 5. They use the same phrase, that for this reason, a man and a woman will leave their father and mother, and the two will cleave together and become one flesh. Now, there's a lot being said there for a very short statement. First of all, it's a man and a woman who leave their father and mother. It's not a man and a man. It's not a woman and a woman. It's a man and a woman. And we know that the Bible speaks against homosexuality. That doesn't mean we don't love them. It doesn't mean we don't have a relationship with those who may be homosexual, that may be in our family or that we may work with. It doesn't mean that we don't show Christian love to them, but it means that we understand that by our faith and our trust in God, we don't believe that that's what God wants. That would be true with the trans issue as well. Again, God made them male and female, the Bible says. God didn't make mistakes. He made them male and female. So for this reason, a woman and a man will leave their father and mother. I also think there's some significance there. They're leaving their father and mother and being married. This is kind of early in life. You're leaving your mom and dad, and you're cleaving together to be married to one another. It doesn't mean that there aren't those who are given the gift of singleness, because some are. And if you are given the gift of singleness, I'm sorry, but if you've been given the gift of singleness, you probably say, don't be. I'm fine. It doesn't mean that you might not go out and do a career before you get married, but I do believe that you shouldn't be necessarily looking to get it. You shouldn't go, if God brings somebody, I'm not looking to get married until after I get a career going. I think that we ought to say, we were made for having a relationship. We were made to be married. We're male and female. We're sexual. And we're made for someone else who is a partner, that we would be faithful to them and cleave together and become one with an individual. So that's a lot that's said there. Now, that's the smallest unit in our culture. The smallest unit is a couple, is a marriage. And then we get a slightly larger one when we add kids into the frame. And so the Bible says no less than 15 times, children are a blessing from the Lord. The man whose quiver is full of them is a happy man, the Bible says. Now, you may have had some struggle with your kids. You may have adult children and go, I don't know, I'm not in the season right now where I'm feeling blessed. But having children is a blessing from God. And God wants us to have kids. And that's the smallest unit in our culture. Well, the smallest unit is marriage, a couple. Then you have a family. And marriage is under attack. That's why I believe that there is this emphasis on trans. I think it's demonic. And if you guys are just coming to the church for a little while, you haven't been coming for a while, I'm not the guy that says everything is demonic, okay? But I think it is demonic. I think your marriage gets under attack from time to time because the enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I think that the enemy wants to destroy your marriage. He wants that opportunity to be able to do that. He wants to destroy you having children and being able to have the blessing that comes from that, because God wants us to leave, cleave, and have kids. Now, that's the first and second institution, marriage, and then a family. And the third is government. And the purpose of the government is so that you can have a marriage and a family and do what God wants you to do. The government's job is to bring you safety. That's the first thing a government is supposed to do. And I would say, although I don't know that Tucson in general is the strongest when it comes to safety in the United States, I would say that I feel relatively safe here in Tucson. And I think that means they're doing their job. They're doing what they are supposed to do, first of all, which is to bring us safety and security. Now, today, again, just like marriage is under attack, just like families are under attack, government is under attack as well. There are places in the world now that don't even have governments. For example, there's Haiti, Somalia, and the Congo. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not some structure there that calls themselves a government. It means that the government isn't functioning. And they are left to the mercy of gangs and militias. There's places in South America that are the exact same way. This is just an example of it. And we should pray for those areas, because just as we have a government that brings us some sense or some safety, God wanted governments to be that way. And I think the fact that we are in the last days, and I really do believe that we're moving towards the end. I'm not saying Jesus is coming back tomorrow or in a week or a year. I don't know when he's coming back, but I believe I'm looking out at a world that is ready for Jesus to return. And I think that's one of the reasons that governments are so out of control right now. When you talk about governments in East Europe and in West Europe, when you talk about cities in the United States that defund the police, if the first job of a government is to provide safety, then they can't do that with community service workers instead of police officers. And if you are a police officer and you're here, I appreciate you. If you're a soldier that's here, I appreciate you. I appreciate what you do because your job is to keep us safe. It's just different. And the answer to what does the Bible say about soldiers is that being a soldier is part of keeping the United States safe. Now, if you as a police officer are asked to do something that goes against your Christian conscience that you believe is wrong, then you don't have to do it. Now, you're going to lose your job. That's going to be the consequences of it, is you're going to lose your job. The same thing is true with the military. I don't understand how it all works. I don't want to pretend like I do. But you can be a conscientious objector. Is that right? So for those of you who are in the military, and I think that means that you're going to be removed from the military if you do that. If you don't follow an order, they're going to say, thank you very much for being here. I don't know whether it's honorable or dishonorable. But really, if it comes to your conscience and you're being asked to do something that you believe is wrong, then you want to stick to your conscience even if you are dishonorably discharged, right? So I don't know that that's the case. I would think it wouldn't be if someone comes and says, I can't do this because I don't believe it's right. I don't think they would dishonorably discharge you. But a lot of times what I think, people don't do. So don't take my word for it. But I'm saying that yes, you can be a soldier. Yes, you can be a police officer. Yes, you can carry a gun. Yes, you can shoot a bad guy and still be a Christian. You're actually doing the job that God has given you to do. Now, cities like Minneapolis, Portland, Seattle, Los Angeles, New York, and Austin, of all places, have defunded their police. And Austin has had hundreds of thousands of people leave. This is in Texas. Hundreds of thousands of people leave because they don't feel safe because of the crime wave that started in 21 because they defunded their police in 2020. Along with the pandemic came defunding the police. And that's happened to all of these cities. There are people that have left and people that don't feel safe. And when you talk about the military being taken into DC now, being taken into Chicago, when you talk about ICE agents who are defending our borders in order to keep us safe, I believe that they are all the ministers of God. I believe they're all serving us and they are put in authority by God and they ought to be supported by us. Now, it goes on, soldiers are doing the same thing, and I talked about that. So let's go ahead and get into our verses. So we want to cover verses 1-7, and I'm just going to make my way through them, verse by verse, line by line. It's all about how we are to interact with government, as you guys can tell. So in verse 1 of chapter 13, it says, let every soul, and so the question is, do you have a soul? And if you have a soul, it's talking about you, right? Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. Now, this is the Roman Empire. This is emperors. Some Christians are going to be asked to give allegiance to the emperor as God, and they will not do it, and they will die. So the question, what about if I'm in a government that is ungodly? Do I still submit to that government? What about when the president of the United States is ungodly? Do we still submit to that government? The answer is yes. It doesn't mean we agree. We'll talk about what we do when we're asked to do something we shouldn't do in a moment, but we need to be subject to authorities. And he's going to tell us why. He says, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. The Bible says that God raised up Nebuchadnezzar to take Israel captive because of the idolatry of Israel. Israel had been in idolatry, and God raised up a foreign king and put him in power to take Israel into captivity. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. In America, promotion doesn't come from the right or the left. Promotion comes from God. God's the one who puts people where they are. Sometimes God gives leaders to bless, and sometimes God gives leaders to punish states and nations. And we see that throughout the Bible. Nevertheless, where every Christian is in the world, he is to be subject to his government. If you were a Christian in Russia, Romans says the same thing to you that it says to us. So we often read things, you know, through our own lenses, rightfully so, but understanding that this is not saying anything about the government. It could be good, it could be bad, it could be indifferent, but we are still to be subject where we can be to the government. So Paul is writing during the Roman Empire. Now, lest you think it's only Paul that's saying this, lest you think, well, it's to the Romans, that's why the Romans have to submit to government, as some have said. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:13, therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king supreme. It's going to go on to talk more about other things, but it says submit yourself. And the word submit here means to submit willingly. You willingly submit. This is the same word that's used for wives, by the way. So wives who are to submit to their husbands, the Bible says husbands love your wives, and the Bible says wives respect your husbands, because we as men need respect. And listen, if we need respect, then we need to be the kind of men that get respect, the kind of men who take care of our wives and allow them to be someone who can willingly submit to us because we're loving them and dying for them. That's what God desires. So we willingly submit to our government. In John 19:11, Jesus is having a conversation with Pilate. Now, Pilate's going to end up handing him over to be crucified. And Pilate says to him, you're not going to talk to me now? Don't you know I have the authority to kill you or to set you free? And Jesus responds with this. This is John 19:11. Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Who delivered Jesus to the Romans? The Jewish leadership. Now, let me just go on a little bit of a planned rabbit trail, because I need to. The fact that the Jews had the greater sin, because in the past, there have been those who have been anti-Semitic towards Christians and called them Christ killers and even persecuted them, because the Jews handed Jesus over to the Romans and the Romans crucified him. The sin of the Jews that did that is the ones who handed him over, not all Jewish people. That would be the definition of racism. Judging someone who is bad, no matter what color their skin is, if they are bad, is not racism. Judging an entire people group because you know someone who is bad is racism, right? And so it's racist when they said that they are Christ killers, and this has led to what is called replacement theology, believing that the church has replaced Israel, and we haven't. God's going to do a work in Israel. God said, I will never forget you, and the sins of those individuals have not been cast on all of the nation of Israel. It's really important to understand. And there's a lot going on today. You're starting to see some contention between what's happening in Israel and Gaza now. It's been going on a long time. There's some people who are coming out and saying it's time for this thing to be done. It's time for you guys to finish this. And they're being called anti-Semitic because they do that. And so there's this kind of like this growing complication in what's happening in the Middle East. And it's causing some to be anti-Semitic and some to be super for Israel no matter what they're doing. And people get mad at me because you guys know that I'm for Israel, right? I'm for Israel. Pray for Israel, been to Israel, believe God's restoring Israel, believe that Jesus is going to rule from Jerusalem for 1,000 years during the millennium. And so when I say I don't agree with everything the Israeli government does, people have called me anti-Semitic. Why do you have to say that? It's like you're anti-Semitic. What? Because I say that I don't agree. I don't agree with what our government does. But I'm way for the United States. I live here. I'm an American. And so I'm for the United States, but I don't agree with everything our government does. Israel is as secular as the United States is. Don't think that they're living for Yahweh. There's an Orthodox group of them who are extreme that are still following the Old Testament, but the majority of them are as secular as the United States. We're known as a Christian nation. Are the majority of people in America Christian? No. Good. This is the interactive time. Yeah, so Christian. And same thing in Israel. The majority of Jews that are there in that Jewish nation are not practicing Jews. And that's important for us to understand. But it doesn't mean we don't pray for them and we don't pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because we do. And I think we're entering into a time where we're going to see increasingly countries and nations against Israel because God said, I will make Jerusalem like a heavy stone around the neck of the world in the last days. And I think we're seeing some of that come to play now. So the second verse says, this is Romans 13, 2, says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. So when you are not doing what the government wants you to do, then you're resisting God because they're God's ministers. Even if God hadn't told them that they're supposed to do what they're doing, because God's given them the authority to be able to provide safety and they put ordinances in place. And so we want to be obedient to the government, even if we disagree. I've got a road near my house that's 30 miles an hour. It should be 55 at the very least. I struggle. I'm like, which city engineer made this 30 miles an hour? Because this is crazy. It feels like you're crawling when you're going down that road. When I'm going back and forth between campuses, a light just turns yellow and I could stop, but I could also go and make it on time. Now, we're going to talk about conscience here in a minute, and we're doing things for the sake of conscience. We'll talk about that here momentarily. But it goes on to say in Titus, and this is another place Paul said this. So Titus lived on the island of Cyprus. He was the pastor of Cyprus. So he's talking to him about obeying the government. I just want to make sure you don't think it's just because Rome, like I said, some people teach. So Paul says to Titus, remember them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work. So remember to obey the government. Now, verse number 3 and 4, the government's role is to keep us safe and to punish evil and to praise good. When a government is doing what God wants a government to do and gave them the authority for, they are punishing evil. Here's what it says, Romans 13, 3 and 4. For rulers are not a terror to good works. If you're doing good things, then you aren't afraid when a police officer comes down the road. The fact that when I'm going down the road and see a police car hidden back a little bit on a road, I hit my brakes even if I'm going under the speed limit, might tell you that I've had some trouble doing what's good. It says, but to evil. So let me read this again. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Then do what is good, and you will have praise from the same.
Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow is a ministry of Calvary Tucson. We hope this Bible study helps you to live a life that brings glory to God and draws others to Him. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, you can visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not be possible without the support and generosity of our listeners. If you would like to partner with us financially and help spread the life-saving message of the gospel, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a recurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway Boulevard. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday at 8:45 and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday at 6 p.m. and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Saturday 6 p.m., Sunday morning 10 a.m., and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio, 106.7 FM, 96.1 FM HD4, 690 AM, and streaming at reach.radio. Or visit our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life, or you have any questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey to Jesus. Text READY FOR JESUS to 94,000. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson, or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KEGA 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
If you are listening locally in the Tucson area and you have a school-aged child, we'd love for you to come find out more about Calvary Christian School, where we love God, love people, and love out loud. At CCS, teachers disciple students to become more like Jesus, arming them with a biblical worldview grounded in God's Word. Calvary Christian School is duly accredited, and our teachers and staff are focused on ministering to the heart of each and every student while challenging them both academically and spiritually. And thanks to scholarships provided by the state of Arizona, most students attend for little to no cost. For more information on our K-12 classes or to schedule a tour, look us up online at Calvary Christian School Tucson.